Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil olive beaten for the lights, to cause the lamps to burn continually in the tabernacle of the congregation. And it shall be a statute forever in your generations.
The Eternal Light. The National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations present The Eternal Light, a program which comes to you under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Our program today, Voyage to Inner Space, was written by Mark Siegel.
It is written in the Talmud that God created man with an impulse towards good and an impulse towards evil. And it is said that both impulses, the evil as much as the good, were given man to help him in his journey.
On this morning, 10 million men and women may begin a voyage which, sooner or later, all men take. Perhaps 20 million, or 30. I know I will be with all of them. Do not ask me who I am. Aboard ship, they call me Captain. 10 million, perhaps 20, or 30. Among them, Harry. Among them, perhaps you.
Good morning. Glad to have you aboard. Kindly fasten your seat belts and please observe the no smoking sign when it's on. It's almost time for blastoff.
Ready. 10 seconds to go. 9, 8, 7, 6. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0.
The flight course is an old one, old but very serviceable. Yet somehow on this voyage to a destination known yet unknown to every man, each passenger sooner or later comes forward to the pilot's compartment. And the first question, it is always the same.
Captain, do you know the way?
Yes, of course, Harry. Do you?
Well, I don't know. I'm a little uncertain.
Uncertain? That's the best passport there is on a voyage like this one.
Can I sit up here with you?
As you like.
The view's better up here, I suppose.
No, the same.
The same? The same up here as back in the ship?
Every passenger has the same view on this voyage. Some see more than others, but everyone has the same view.
From both sides of the ship? How's that possible?
It's possible. That's how it is on a voyage to inner space. Comfortable, Harry?
Oh, yes, Captain. In fact, well-to-do.
Well, I was inquiring into the state of your spirit, not your tax bracket.
They seem to go more or less together. Say, look down there. That's quite a view.
What are you looking at, Cape Canaveral?
How did you know? You haven't taken your eyes from the instrument panel.
That's what everyone does. At first.
What do you mean, at first?
It's the most obvious feature in the landscape.
Well, in today's world, the most important, I'd say.
Why?
Are you serious?
Quite serious, Harry.
Oh, you think that's more important?
What, where they're fussing with the atom?
Out there, the testing grounds, where the clouds are rising.
And falling, Harry. Falling. Of course that's important, terribly. but still not the most important thing.
I don't get it.
You will. Travel a little further.
Why, of course, now I understand. It's that troubled segment out there where East meets West.
Not that either, Harry.
Not even peace in the world? Well, I don't get it. I really don't get it. What in the world can be more important than peace? Without it, there wouldn't be any world at all. Well, there's a haze of some kind coming up.
Yes, of course.
Everything's disappearing.
Now, don't be concerned, Harry.
But what's happening?
It will all come back, everything you've seen before, but in much sharper focus.
It's gone. The whole world's gone.
Just the outside world.
Just? I can't see anything. And it's not just haze. It's black out there. Pitch black.
It's a whole universe. Another universe.
Where? I can't see a thing.
It's sometimes hard to, in inner space.
I don't like this, Captain. I'm afraid. I don't want to be in another universe.
You're always in it, Harry. This universe is you. Each man is a universe, vast and endless, infinite in his capacities, various as the galaxies in the skies. Each man a universe, waiting each one for the probe of exploration, the voyage to inner space that each man, sooner or later, must take in self-fulfillment. And it takes courage to go to the frontiers of that universe, courage most men will disclaim.
Well, to tell you the truth, Captain, I'm not a very courageous fellow.
Of course.
I'm a pretty ordinary man.
Yes, Harry.
I work at my business and take care of things day by day. But when it comes to this kind of exploring, well, I'm not really cut out for this.
Come, Harry, a little less humility. A little less humility, old boy.
Who's that, Captain?
Don't you even recognize him, Harry?
Hmm? Well, there's something familiar about his face, but... Was he invited to come up here into the pilot's compartment?
He came when you came, Harry.
Well, I didn't see him.
You saw me, old boy. You just didn't admit it.
Now, that's not true.
Now, that's one of the things I like about you, Harry. Your pride.
I tell you, I didn't see you.
Perhaps you weren't looking, Harry. Don't you recognize him, really?
No. Well, not really. I get the feeling I've seen him somewhere. But say, do you work for me?
Tried to keep you from making a darn fool of yourself.
I don't think you should talk that way. It's not fitting. Not on a trip like this.
I'll talk any way I choose, Harry. Besides which, this trip is nonsense. It's the world you can see that counts.
Please.
You're here today and gone tomorrow, Harry, old fella. You've one life to live. Make the best of it. You have as good a time as you can. To the devil with everyone else.
I asked you not to talk that way.
Calm down, Harry. I'm just protecting your interests, old boy. Glad to be able to help out, too. Glad to be aboard.
Captain, do me a favor, will you?
If I can, Harry.
Tell him to get out. He makes me uncomfortable.
I can't tell him to leave, Harry.
But of course he can. Not while you're aboard.
I don't understand.
You'd do better to talk with him, to admit he's with you on this trip.
But why? I can't stand him. I hate the sight of him.
Why, Harry? Because he's part of you.
I don't believe it. How can you say that repulsive character is part of me?
Wait just 1 minute, Harry. Just 1 minute. You seem to make out fine with me most of the time.
That's not true.
You're not so fast about trying to get rid of me in the real world.
Well, that's something else.
What is it?
I don't need you along, not on this trip.
But you do, Harry. That's the whole point.
Let him talk, Harry. You'll understand yourself a little better.
Thanks, Captain. Now, Harry, you listen to me. We've gone a long way together.
I won't admit that.
And we're going right on. You shouldn't reject me. You should be grateful to me.
Grateful? To you?
Who figured out your contributions last year to the penny? I mean the right penny for tax deductibility.
I wanted to give more.
I know you did. You would have given them everything you had if you hadn't consulted me.
Well, I didn't hurt anyone by it.
Well, of course not, Harry. It's just an example. Think about it, Harry. You've no reason to disown me on this trip. Do you disown me in your office?
My office?
Well, Harry, what do we do?
I don't know, Joe. I'm thinking.
Well, we can take the loss better than he can. He's been having a tough time.
Yes, Joe, I know. Still...
Harry, don't be a fool. This is business.
Still what, Harry?
Cancel the order, Joe.
Cancel it? He's a friend of ours, Harry. This'll ruin him.
We can't let that come into it, Joe. We've got to be practical. This is...
business.
Business. That's not my personal life. That's business.
Then you admit it, Harry. You've used me to swing quite a few deals.
In my business, yes.
And outside your business, Harry.
Captain.
What is it, Harry?
Why do I have to listen to him?
It's part of the voyage, Harry. But one lone part of it. Try to remember that.
All right, Captain. I'll try.
Harry, all that I'm saying is use your head. Without me, you'd be a dreary little fella. No ambition, no pride, no drive to get out there and do.
You make me sound like a monster.
Monster? Don't be ridiculous. I'm just giving you the straight story. You're number one. Just remember that. You come first. You take care of yourself. The rest of the world will take care of itself.
Captain.
Yes, Harry.
Is that what you meant when you said each man was a universe? That I'm what he calls number one.
Don't bother with him, Harry. Decide for yourself, old boy. Or better still, let me decide for you.
Captain, please. You told me I was more important than the world outside. Is that what you meant?
I'm only the pilot. I can't answer for you. You have to answer for yourself.
But is that what you meant?
No, not at all.
Then what did you mean?
You have to find out for yourself, Harry. That's what this voyage is.
Look, old boy, forget the questions. Come on, I'll buy you a drink.
I must find out what he meant. I must. I've been going along thinking everything was fine. Now suddenly, I don't know. I'm confused. I'm utterly confused.
Now, Harry, you take a tip from me. Don't act confused.
But I am. I've never been this way before.
Forget it. Even if you don't know what the score is, you act just as if you know all the answers. You understand?
In this world,
you have to appear certain, old boy. You walk around saying you're confused. Well, what'll people say? You want people saying Harry doesn't know his own mind? Well, where's your self-respect?
Right here. I'm right here.
Who is it? Who's that?
Someone asked where I was. I'm here.
Captain.
Yes, Harry?
Another part of me?
Yes, of course.
Thank God.
Exactly. For every part of you. How does a man learn that he must give thanks for all he is? For his tendency towards evil as surely as his impulse towards good? Can a man learn from being told that he must accept the unacceptable and master it? I think not. He must make the voyage for himself.
Why? Why did I take this flight?
I helped you, Harry.
But why? Whoever you are, why?
For your good.
But you are my good.
Call me what you will. For your good. And because you had doubts.
You knew that?
Of course.
And you let me take a trip that only increases my doubts?
That's how a man voyages towards the truth, Harry.
By doubts?
By faith. But there is no faith until you've had your doubts and faced them, fought them, surmounted them. It has always been that way.
Yes, always. It has always been that way. And always, yes, always on the voyage to inner space, there is the voice to contain the doubt, the practical worldly voice, the voice of that part of man which Harry and all who voyage toward the frontiers of the spirit must face, accept, and master.
Turn back, old boy. You can still forget this voyage. Why don't you turn back now? While you can.
A voice to strengthen doubt. And if the voyager persists, despite that doubt, a voice to summon fear.
Harry, suppose this ship cracks up?
Yes. Suppose this ship cracks up.
There is no danger of crack up, not if you follow the flight course. The chart is given.
What chart, Captain?
God's commandments, Harry. That chart.
What God? The God who lets the good suffer and the evil prosper?
What did you say, Harry?
I didn't say anything.
I can hear all of you, Harry. Every part of you has a right to speak.
Then I'll say it again. What God? The God who lets man threaten life itself with intercontinental ballistic missiles and a hydrogen bomb? The God who allows men to kill each other, to maim each other's spirits?
What God? The God of the universe.
Which universe? Harry here? The universe in which our pathetic Earth spins around, a minor star in a galaxy which is one of millions? Or the next universe beyond that one? Or the universe four more stops down the line?
Harry.
Oh, you're back. Good.
Let me talk with him.
Of course. I was hoping you would.
Friend, you've answered your own question. God is not part of the universe. He is master of it.
I like that. I really do. If he's master of the universe, why didn't he make Harry perfect?
So that a man would have choice. So that a man would have freedom to choose. That's his greatest gift to man. Freedom.
Fine. Fine. I say he gave man the freedom to enjoy himself. To live.
Correction, friend. The freedom to live for something.
But for what? How am I to know for what?
Harry, I think you know sometimes. I think some part of you knows.
Well, I try. I really try.
You try, old boy. It's ridiculous. And you, my friend, what do you expect him to do? Look at the society in which he lives. He's an ant, a bug, a bee.
He is a man. A man made in the image of God. And he tries. He tries.
How? By going to services on Saturdays? By being charitable? By plucking sympathetically over the plight of millions of his fellows who are ill or starving or denied the rights of citizenship?
That's not fair.
All right, I'll go further. By working to make life better for those millions? By voting one little vote or being nice to his one little wife or his one little family? Is that how he tries?
Yes, those are some of the ways.
You mean there are others just as futile?
Not at all futile. He tries by studying and by reaching into himself in an attempt to deepen his own soul. This trip is one of the ways he tries.
And where has he got with his trying? What's in it for him?
Everything.
You don't talk sense. Harry, be objective for once. Just use your head and tell me. Is what he's saying making sense?
Harry, use your heart, too.
Harry, I ask you simply and plainly, does it make sense for you to exist at all?
How does a man justify his existence? First, perhaps, by remembering what he does for others.
I'm on the board of the synagogue, and I'm active in welfare work. And I try to pay the people who work for me decent wages.
But why, old boy? Could it be that you get a private kick out of being elected chairman of a committee? Or that you really take part in these so-called do-good activities because it makes you a big man in your city?
Be honest, Harry.
All right. Of course I get pleasure out of knowing other people think I'm doing the right thing.
Then there's pride in what you're doing.
Yes. Yes, I'll admit it. There's pride.
Good for you, Harry. Spoken like an honest man.
Honest, perhaps. But it cancels out the worth of what you do.
But that's not true. All of the worthwhile things I do are worthwhile. Isn't that so? Please, somebody tell him. Tell him I'm just human and I do the best I can do.
We are reaching the last frontier in our voyage to inner space.
Harry, I can't tell him you're just human. He knows that. He's part of your being human.
Well, what does he mean? That what I do that's good doesn't count just because people in my community respect me for it.
I mean, old boy, that you do the right things for the wrong reasons.
Don't let him trouble you about that, Harry. A man who performs acts of goodness leads himself towards the right reasons. But, Harry, there is something else.
I'm ready. Tell me.
You seem to do a great deal for others. What do you do for yourself?
For myself? You're beginning to sound like him.
We're not as far apart as you're inclined to make us, Harry.
But you're my good, aren't you? And he's...
I'm only that other part of you refined. That part grown up.
Well, that's not possible.
From his pride, Harry, can come a sense of duty. From his selfishness can come self-love.
Self-love? Isn't that the same as selfishness?
You have to love yourself before you can love others, Harry.
But I thought...
Why should you be less kind to yourself than to others?
We are approaching our destination.
Is that part of my duty, too? To love myself?
Your duty, the duty of man, in all things, is to serve God and to fulfill God's will in every moment of your life, not for your sake. Even if your duty includes your happiness, not for your sake, for God's sake. And as you do, you help to recreate the world. You help to banish violence and war, to bring the abundance of God's good world to all of God's sons and daughters. You help to plant faith, to reveal the purpose of man's life to all men. All this you do by the fulfillment of what has been commanded you.
I? But I'm only one man.
How do you know which action of which day reaches out to affect the lives of others? How do you know how far the tiniest act of goodness goes?
I never thought much about it before.
Do you think chain reaction is limited to the atom? If the splitting of a single atom can release fantastic energy, fantastic force, can't you see, Harry, that the tiniest fulfillment of God's commandments can release a force in the hearts and spirits of man that may be overwhelmingly a force for good? Add up the good deeds of men, striving for good, Harry, and the nature of the world is changed.
Harry.
Yes, Captain.
Look to the outside world now. The haze. It's gone.
You said the world would come back in sharper focus. It has.
Kindly fasten your seatbelts. No smoking, please.
I can change that. All that.
Not only can you, Harry, it is your duty. And as you master the evil impulse in your own life, by that much you will help to master what is evil in the lives of those around you.
Where is he, Captain? He's gone.
He'll be back. You can count on it.
I think I'll know how to cope with him.
Coming in for a landing.
I know you'll try. Glad to have had you on board. Good luck.
Thank you, Captain. Then it is up to me? Yes. I see. It is up to me.
On this morning, 10 million men and women may begin a voyage which sooner or later all men take.
A voyage to inner space. Perhaps 20 million. Or 30. Among them, Harry. Among them, perhaps, you.
If you would like a copy of today's script, please send your name and address with 10 cents to cover the cost of postage and handling to the Jewish Theological Seminary of America, 3080 Broadway, New York 27, New York. And now we take great pleasure in presenting Dr. David I. Golovinsky, Rabbi of Bethel Synagogue, New Rochelle, New York, and President of the New York Board of Rabbis. Dr. Golovinsky.
This charming story dramatically demonstrates the message of our sages. The rabbi stated, Adam olam katan lifnei atzmo, every man is a world in miniature. Man, like Harry in our play, is a complex organism, a compound of conflicting drives. He is neither all good nor all wicked, but a composite of a yetzer tov, a yearning for the sublime, and a yetzer hara, a drive towards evil. As a child of God, he seeks to pursue what is true and noble. Sharing the nature of the beast, he is also motivated by greed and passion. His divine soul soars heavenward. His animal nature gravitates earthward. In his heart, earth and heaven are locked in combat, each seeking to control him, to master him. Our sages further teach us that in this crucial struggle, the divine in man, the Yetzer Tov, can conquer the Yetzer Hara, his baser impulses. However, this victory is not easily achieved, not without fortitude and courage. Thus, in answer to the question, Ezehu Gibor, who is really strong? Our sages tell us, Hakovesh es Yitzro, he who subdues his evil inclinations. Through Torah and mitzvot, through the humanizing disciplines of religion, we can attain a life that brings glory to God and fulfillment and happiness to man. This cheering faith in man's ability to rise above himself is the leitmotif and central thesis of historic Judaism.
Thank you, Dr. Golovinsky. Our eternal light drama today, Voyage to Inner Space, was written by Mark Siegel. Cantor David Putterman sang the liturgical introduction. Featured in the cast were Louis Van Ruten as the pilot, Leon Janney as Harry, Guy Sorrell as the voice of evil, and Leslie Daniel as the voice of good. Others in the cast were Roger DeCoven and Joan Christopher. This is Vic Roby. Our program was directed by George Voutsas. This weekly program is presented under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. This is the NBC Radio Network.